registered in Matthew chapter number 26. Tonight we've been preaching on our Lord's last week that He spent here on the earth and what He had to say and what He did before He died. Certainly these are important words. They're the Word of God. But even greater than that, they are the last words of Jesus. And even greater than that, the last words of the God-man, the one who was all God and all man. Don't look for another. There'll be no more. There's only one God-man. And these were His last words. We notice the triumphant entrance on Sunday morning. In parallel, I thank the Lord for the day that He made a triumphant entrance into my life and saddled up the jack of my old nature and rode it down. And He is riding it down. I bless Him for it. I tell you, I'd be hard to handle if He didn't have a saddle on my old man. I tell you, my old man's wicked. It's mean as the devil. It doesn't like anything but hog slop. I've never been able to get it to straighten up. I've never been able to get it straightened out. I've never been able to get it to turn over a new leaf. It was just like I first found it. It was mean and it's still mean. It's ugly. It doesn't like anything good. It doesn't like anything clean. It doesn't like anything but filth and debauchery. And I'm glad He's a-riding it tonight, because if He wasn't, it'd be in a mess. Bless His name for that triumphant entry. We looked on Sunday night at some teachings of examination. He asked us to examine ourselves in some areas. We looked last night about some treasures about the end. I thank Him that this one day will culminate. It will come to an end, and we will see Him face to face. And we should be making preparations for that. His appearance and our seeing Him face to face. Tonight I'm interested in Matthew chapter number 26, if you've got the Bible. And if we could tonight, I want to look at this little thought that would bring our attention again to this last week. And my, what a week it was. I want us to see tonight the test of all evil. The test of all evil. God placed upon His darling Son, even prior to the cross, the test of all evil. We are in Matthew chapter number 26, and I want to begin in verse number 36, looking first at the setting of this test. Where did this test take place? The Bible tells us that it took place in Gethsemane. The Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, saith unto His disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." I would remind you tonight that we've already had the upper room supper. John 13 and the washing of the disciples' feet has already taken place. He's already shared the thought, "In my Father's house are many mansions," from John chapter number 14. Transversing the city, He shared with them John chapter number 15, the vine and the branch. He is already in their transversing of the city. Shared with them John chapter number 16 about the Comforter that would take care of orphans and assure them that they have been adopted. In John 17, we have the high priestly prayer. Many believe that it was prayed from this place called Gethsemane. It was a place where God would test His Son in the area of all evil. The little word Gethsemane means a wine press. Here, the darling Son of God, the night prior to the cross, is reminded that the God of all the universe, just a few hours, will put Him in the divine wrath of His sovereign wine press. He would squeeze all of the eternal juices of His blood out of Him. He would shed enough blood to save His people from their sin. Being reminded of that in this garden. Over in Isaiah chapter number 60, Isaiah, looking prophetically through a telescope down through time, he says that he sees one coming from Edom. Edom is a picture of the flesh. He says he's coming from Bozra in Edom. Bozra is the capital of Edom. It's where the king of flesh dwells. This one who is returning, Isaiah said, he's been down there in a battle. And he's been battling with the king of the flesh. And he looks at him and he says, "Who is this that seems to be dressed in red apparel? It seems like his clothes look like he's been through a wine vat. He's been pressed out of measure." Of course, Isaiah was seeing none other than the bloody Lamb of God who had come to do battle with the king of the flesh. He had come to conquer him. It is in this garden of Gethsemane, the place of a wine press, that he is being reminded that there will be a test of all evil. But I do point out to you from the text tonight, not only the setting of this test was in Gethsemane, but in John's Gospel, when he mentions this place called Gethsemane, he gives us an added attraction. He tells us that the setting of this test was not only in Gethsemane, it was in a garden. He calls it the Garden of Gethsemane. That's unusual that God Almighty would let His Son spend His last hours upon the earth in a garden. Oh, not strange at all. The first Adam spent his first days in a garden. God made an incision in his side, took out of his side a rib, and made a woman. And the two of them failed God's test of evil and submitted themselves to the devil. But this last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is in a garden of Gethsemane, spending his last days here upon the earth. He too is going to be tested by Satan like no other time, but he will not submit to him. He submits to the Father. He resists the devil. And because of that, our Father is going to repeat what he did to the first Adam. He opened his side and he took out a woman. The last Adam will hang upon an old rugged tree
and the centurion will ram a sword up in his side. The Bible says out of his side came blood and water. The intentions of that his heart had erupted. Matthew Henry said, if God had opened the centurion's eyes, he would have saw the church of the Bride of Christ, every redeemed child of God, in His side. I can't help but believe that maybe the angels flew by, and they flew by that darling dead Son of God. Maybe one whispered to the other, he said, did you take a peek in his side when he flew by? He said, no. What's in there? He said, let's fly by again and I'll show you. And they peeked in there. He said, there's a woman inside there. He said, what kind of woman is it? He said, I don't know, but she's all decked out in a wedding dress. He said, she looks like a bride. I'm telling you tonight, he saw me in the side of the Lamb of God. I was not saved by accident. I was not saved because some little old prayer I prayed. I was saved because He died for me. I was in His side. Foolish and crazy enough to believe tonight. And He was on the cross. I was on His mind. I don't know if he was thinking about you or not. I ain't going out on that limb and I ain't telling you he was. But I do know this. He is a thinking about me. Run me across his mind. He said, I'm a paying the price for old Tom Gillum. And I'm going to redeem him, make it real to him. On July the 14th, 1968, he said, it's a done deal. He said, I'm a paying it in full right now. I like that, don't you? I don't have an accident salvation. I have a purposeful salvation. I have a God tonight. As His blessed mother said when He was born, she said, let's call Him Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Telling you tonight, not only did the setting of this test involve a Gethsemane, but it involved a garden. But I see from the text tonight, there is a subject of this test. In what is he tested? The Bible tells us here, if you've got it in front of you, in verse number 38, he is soul tested. Verse number 38, then saith he unto thee, my soul. You know there has been an occasion when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Satan tempted Him for 40 days and 40 nights. It was there that Satan tested His outward man. And He passed all of the tests. But it is here that God will not allow Satan to test His outward man, but He will test His inward man. Oh, there's where you and I need help tonight. We can straighten up the outward man. We quit smoking, quit cussing. I quit this, quit that. But oh, to straighten up that inside, to straighten up that soul, we'll need somebody bigger than us. Here he is tested in the area of his soul. In Psalms 105, speaking of Joseph, it is not in the Genesis account, but in the Psalms account, Joseph being the picture of Jesus Christ from the Old Testament, said while he was in prison, they laid him in irons. The little word laid means to pierce deeply. The little word iron is the word for the soul. Here in this garden, God is let the devil loose on Christ, and He's probing deep within His soul. Oh, the cross was filled with physical anguish, that which we can see. But here, He is tested in the area of the inward, that which we cannot see. And I got good news for you tonight. He passed with an A plus. I like it, don't you? Oh, soul tested. But I notice in the text that He was sorrow tested. The Bible says here in verse 38, "Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." What is going on in this garden? Don't pinch me and wake me up. I believe with all of my heart that there is divine, eternal business transacting between God the Father and God the Son and me here in this garden. It is here in this garden that the Father is laying upon the Son all of my sorrows and all of my griefs. Matter of fact, He says it's so heavy, He said, "It's about to kill me." He said, "I don't know if I'll get to the cross." He said, "I feel like I'm going to die right here." Hey, Isaiah 53 said, "Surely He hath borne all our griefs and our sorrows." Every time you'll ever get any bad news in your life, every time you'll have to go out to the graveyard, every time there'll be a tragedy, every time there'll be a heartache, every time there'll be a disappointment, every time you'll ever see a doctor shake his head and say there's no hope, I got good news for you. Long before that soul touched your life, it was placed upon the darling Son of God. He said, "I've already borne it. I've already taken it away." Glory to His name. He's been tested in the area of sorrow. He's been soul tested tonight. I'm glad tonight He's been soul tested. My soul is weak. No wonder Paul, when praying for the church of Ephesus, he said that we might be strengthened in our inner man by the might of His Spirit. If there's anything that's weak about us tonight, it's our inner man. For the most part tonight, we're very weak. We're very impotent. We're very helpless in our inner man. Something that has been, I don't know, just heavy on me all day today about the inward man. I was thinking about the service last night, and it doesn't bother me if there's none or little results. It doesn't matter to me at all. Don't build my ego up at all. But I preached last night on the end, and I preached upon our weakness and our helplessness. I think one or two come to the altar, testimony of the rest of you that your inward man was all right. But see, there is a very scary thing about the last day inward man. The church at Laodicea picked him so clearly, the last days of the inward man. They'll think they're all right. They'll think we're strong. Nothing wrong with us. We're tough. We can take it. Bring it on. When in all intents and purposes, they're weak, helpless, and can't take nothing. But here's the scary thought that I arrived at today in my meditations. You know, it's not anything wrong with being weak, being sickly, being impotent in your inward man. But to be like that and not know it, or not admit it, that's a scary thought. And not to try to seek some help. If you've got a man tonight and he's dying, you can help him if he knows he's dying. But if he doesn't know he's dying, there's no help for him. Oh, tonight, here he is soul tested tonight. How come? So we can constantly come to Him, realize our own inadequacy. I am no match for nothing that Satan could point at my soul tonight. I need help. The setting of this test. The subject of this test. But could I point out to you, third of all tonight, the supplications in this test. I notice in our text that there is the supplication of agony. Verse number 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I think about the agony of this test. Here he is being tested. The Bible says that this test, the agony of this test is so severe and so horrible that the blood vessels under his skin begin to pop. He begins to bleed through the pores that would normally produce sweat. Pray tell! Pray tell! Pray tell! What is God putting up on him now that would bring such a horror in him? Such a distaste that the vessels burst in his body. Blood begins to seep through the pores. The agony of this supplication. I was interested in this agony in verse 39. I was glad of this tonight. It says that he went a little further. Do you know tonight that there's no way that you could ever on your own go far enough to get saved? You could never be good enough. You could never be sweet enough. You could never get baptized enough. You could never be moral enough. You could never read your Bible enough. You could never pray enough. You could never memorize enough Scripture in order to be saved. You would always fall short. But right where you fall short, he went a little further. And I got good news. He went far enough. Oh, I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm talking tonight about the agony. What is going on in this garden that is causing him so much agony? Watch the text. Not only are we confronted with the agony of supplication, but I'm confronted in this text tonight with the accomplishments of this supplication. The Bible says he's having problems with a cup. The Father is trying to get him to drink it. A lot of people believe that this is the cross. He's trying to back out on going to the cross. Well, if you know anything about your Bible, you'll know that's a lie. Because he was a lamb slain before the foundations of the world. In the mind and heart of God, the Son has already died. So he isn't trying to get out of the cross. What's in this cup? Tell you what's in that cup. My sin and the sin of every child of God that he'll ever redeem. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians, he who knew no sin was made sin for me. Oh, there is that indication from the Bible that he took my sin upon him. But oh, much bigger than that. Not only did he take it upon him, but Paul said that he became that sin. If you're a liar tonight, he became a liar. If you're a dirty thinker tonight, he became a dirty thinker. If you're immoral tonight, he became immoral. He took that sin and became that sin. And it was horrifying to him. He said, oh, Father, don't make me take that sin. And it was such a horror to it that he cried out, Papa, Daddy, don't make me drink that cup. He said, but thy will be done. Oh, I'm so glad tonight that he became my sin tonight. He didn't just take it upon Him. He was the scapegoat. He became that sin. And on that old rugged cross, He is going to be the scapegoat that takes my sin away. I don't know about your sin tonight. Not going to talk about yours. Just going to talk about mine. Mine's all gone. What? Mine's all gone. How many of you tonight really and truly believe, and if you do, would you wave your hand at me, you really and truly believe that all your sins are gone? Would you wave your hand at me? Lord God, you got a bunch of them in here, Ken. Huh? You know, the world thinks you're crazy. Huh? Oh yeah, all the sins that I committed in the past, they're gone. Hey! I got good news for you. I ain't got to sit down with a knucklehead psychologist and discuss my past now. Huh? I ain't got to talk about, I'll tell you, I don't know, my daddy messed me all up. I just don't know what happened to me. He touched me one day. I ain't never been straight. No, it's gone! I hear tell they put you in a nut house for talking about something that don't exist. It's gone. The sins I'm doing in the present, before I do them, they're gone. You say, preacher, if I believe that, I'd do anything I wanted to. No, if you believe that, you quit doing what you want. Huh? Oh, yeah. The sins that I'm yet to commit tomorrow and in all the morrows, they're gone before I do them. You say, preacher, that's heretical. No way your sins could be gone even before you do them. Hey, I didn't get much good on English. You already know that. But I did learn somewhere along the line that the past is yesterday. Present is today. The future is tomorrow. You that believe tonight, He became your sin for you. Would you answer me this question? In what verb English tense was your sins in at Calvary when He became your sin for you? Were they not all in the future tense then? I'm here to tell you tonight, they're all gone. Oh, son. That just helps me. He scattered them as far as the east is from the west, and they can't ever get back with me. He's never going to bring them up. He's never going to rattle them in my face. How come? He was soul tested. He was sorrow tested. He went a little further and accomplished redemption for my sins. He paid it in full. I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm glad of that tonight. Not only do we see the setting of this test, the subject and the supplication of this test, but could I point out to you last of all tonight the students of this test? You know, there were some people around, some disciples. They should have been learning something about this test. I thought it was interesting. The students of this test are fatigued. Verse number 40, He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. Saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? I'm talking about the fair-haired boys. I'm talking about the old boys that have rubbed elbows with Him. I'm talking about the old boys that saw Lazarus get out of the grave. And here, in a tough moment, you know what they're doing? Slumber. Oh, pray tell. If they were doing that before He left, pray tell, what will we be doing before He comes? Before He comes. I believe there's a slumbering, sleeping air in the church in this hour. Oh, we're just sort of sombering along. I could see that last night. You know, really and truly, this ain't going to come to an end. Really and truly, you don't really believe they're going to blow America clear off the map and ain't nothing going to be in existence here anymore, do you? Surely that's never going to happen. We're the great old USA, red, white, and blue. Ain't nobody ever brought us down. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just... I'll wake you up as she blows.
Just if I could tell you, I told you so. Fatigued. The burnout. World has just worn out.
But not only are they fatigued, they're failed students. Verse number 41, he says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the what? Flesh. That's my old man. Is weak. If there's anything I learned from this little test of our Lord Jesus Christ in the test of all evil, one is, Lord, give me a horrible hatred for sin. Sin so upset the Son that His vessels busted and He bled through His pores just at the thought of sin getting near Him. And you and I, we'll take it into our bosom and play with it all the time. Lord, give me a holy horror for sin in the very minutest piece. Don't let sin come near me. I learned that from this text. I tell you something else I learned from this little student test in closing. He says, watch and pray that you enter not into... I would have thought he would have warned the disciples about sin. He didn't. You know, my whole life, all of my upbringing, my mom and dad always warned me about sin. Stay away from sin, Thomas. Don't get near sin, Thomas. In Bible school as a preacher boy, they told me as a preacher, don't get near sin. Don't mess with sin. But here, never mentions sin. He said, you boys better watch out for temptation. Oh, let me encourage you tonight. Your worries tonight ought not to be about sin. We're always fighting sin. We're sin fighters. We're fundamental. Fire-breathing madness. We fight sin. Sin's not your problem. You better keep your eyes open to temptation. The Lord's Prayer said, lead us not into temptation. See, tonight, if you're never tempted, there ain't no way you can ever get into sin. See, you're worried about sin. And there's a good possibility you're already in it because you fail to see the path of getting into it. The path was temptation. He said, when lust hath conceived, all, did you hear me tonight? All sin starts in here with a thought. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Don't ever get to thinking that you just slipped and fell into that trouble. Don't give the idea that it was an accident. It started in your heart with a thought. And that's where you should have stopped it. Stop the temptation. See, here's why he asks us to pray. I'm just no match for sin. Oh, I don't even want to go there. I'm no match for temptation. I'm no match for a sin being conceived in my mind. Oh, tonight may we have a horror for sin. And when that temptation comes in our mind, may we quickly crawl out, Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy, your child needs help. Cannot overcome this temptation. I must give you my will. I cannot will to fight it. You must give me your will that I might conquer it. All involved in this test of evil.
I'd have to say this tonight. I don't know if you'd want to join me in saying this or not. My, what a week that our Lord accomplished. And could I remind you that it was a short week at that. I thank God for Him spending this week making it sure of my redemption, my sanctification, my justification, and my glorification. Would you stand with us tonight? Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God. Lord, I thank You for going to this garden as the last Adam. My Papa Adam, Lord, failed me. Failed the whole human race. Lord, he was made in the likeness of God. And he failed. Now all of his descendants are made in the likeness of Adam. We have no likeness of God. But oh, when you save us, Lord, and redeem us, wash our sins in your precious blood, come and get inside of us in the person of the Holy Ghost, we are then in your image. I thank you, Lord, for going to this garden, assuring me that as the songwriter said, you took my sin and my sorrow and you made them your very own. Lord, I don't know what to say to you tonight. About all I can think of is to tell you, thank you. Thank you. Lord, keep me sober. Keep me awake. Lord, don't let me slumber and sleep and temptation overtake me. Let me be on God. Give me a holy horror for sin. And for that, I'll thank you. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I don't know what God's fingering around in your heart about tonight. I'm going to ask the sis to come and play us a little something on the instrument. Person need to get in this altar. I don't know. Maybe you just need to come down here and thank God your sins are gone. Maybe some of you it dawned on you tonight that all your sins are gone. You might just want to take a figure eight around the building and just shout a little bit that they're all gone. Maybe you've seen some treasures tonight. Maybe you're here and lost tonight. Without God, without hope. Have no assurance that your sins are gone. Maybe you'd come and bow and acknowledge that this bloody lamb was for you. Don't know what you need to do tonight. Don't know what God's prompting you to do. I do know tonight that He went a little further for His people. I wonder tonight if there's a need to come. Do you feel sort of a spiritual sleepyhead? Why don't you come and ask Him to give you an alertness, soberness, focus? Flesh is weak. Spirit's willing. Would you come while she plays? You come. Seek Him. Seek Him. He can be found. Call on Him. He's near. I sense Him here tonight, don't you? Oh, I thank you that I was in His side. Part of the redeemed, blood-washed church, placed in Him before time began. While we wait, you come. You know, I studied Jacob not long ago. You know, Jacob, every time you see him, he's bowing at an altar. He's an altar dweller. He's just always getting down. I wonder if you're known here at the church when they give an invitation. Are you known as a stander or a bower? If old Jacob was in y'all's church, son, he'd be at the altar every time you turned around. Somebody'd be saying, well, Grace, that joker, he goes to the altar all the time. He goes to the altar when he don't even give an altar call.
Hey, I want to be known as a bower, not as a stander. But there's a need to come tonight and just bow. Thank you. Going to this garden, this Gethsemane, taking your sin and your sorrows, making them your very own. Next time you get bad news, be assured, he's